Spirit Blade Underground, episode 260. Warning, access restricted. Please submit to DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Audio file encryption processing. Transmission decoded. Begin playback for system file. Spirit Blade Underground, episode 260.
Welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast, a biblical examination and celebration of geekery and geek entertainment. I'm Peter Franson from Spirit Blade Productions, where we produce entertainment and resources designed to equip, encourage, and inspire Christian geeks like you and me to live more and more for Christ. For more information, free goodies, and a great online community, check out spiritblade.net. On the show today, a review of the martial arts genre mashup, Tai Chi Zero, a summary of what we've learned about God in Genesis, and the end of our Enoch primordial contest, as well as the beginning of an all-new contest. I know, I'm changing things up a little bit. I said I was planning on doing the review of the Evil Dead movie this week. I'll talk a little bit about why I'm not at the end of the show. I hope you guys will find this review of Tai Chi Zero interesting, though. So let's find out and get to it.
At last, the power of the dragon amulet is mine. It overwhelms your feeble defenses. Will now agree with all of my opinions and everything I say, even if it sounds stupid and wrong.
Tai Chi Zero is a Chinese kung fu movie that aims to blend martial arts action, steampunk, and video game references into a creative, comically punchy, tongue-in-cheek mashup. Yang Luchan is a martial arts prodigy, born with a supernatural gift for fighting that is so powerful it's killing him. His only hope is to learn a different style of fighting to, like, rebalance his energy flow or some voodoo like that, so that his power will no longer be lethal. The fighting style he's got to learn is only taught in the remote Chen Village. But the law of Chen Village is that the unique fighting style may not be taught to outsiders. Meanwhile, Chen Village is in danger as the Industrial Revolution brings a massive steampunk machine and its operators, who are dead set on demolishing the village to make room for their new railway system. Down with progress! The meta humor in this flick is fast and clever, borrowing much from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, actually. As new characters appear, a quick pop-up on screen announces the character name and the actor playing them, as well as some factoid about the actual actor, such as he was in Once Upon a Time in China. When the camera gives a wide bird's-eye view of the village, small notices pop up across the landscape, identifying the various shops and locations, much like you would see in the village or world map of a Japanese RPG when you zoom out. Fight scenes also include video game pop-up announcements identifying, you know, special moves or a KO, stuff like that. A huge problem, however, is the speed at which English-speaking viewers are expected to keep up with the subtitles. It's nuts, actually. What is certainly great comedic timing, I think, for those who speak Mandarin, ends up being too fast to appreciate for the rest of us. I'm also sure that I missed out on many of the subtleties of the humor, given that I often couldn't tell the difference between something that was weird to be funny or weird because it's Chinese and I'm a simple, uncultured American who doesn't get it. The action is well done, though if you've seen one modern Chinese kung fu movie, you've kind of seen them all, in my opinion. And because things are so over the top and human limits are undefined, combat seems like a pretty effortless affair that lacks any dramatic tension. The costumes are nicely designed, and steampunk fans I think will enjoy the Victorian elements present, as well as the numerous gears and clouds in the belly of the mechanical beast in this movie. the performances are all fine for a Chinese movie. In fact, they may be great. But as is often the case, they still feel overdone to me, with odd vocalizations thrown in. Not during combat, but during normal conversations. Vocalizations that just seem unnecessary, you know? Oh, you know, if you watch any anime, you know those strange noises that I'm talking about. And oddly, despite watching this movie in its original language, the post-production voiceover was lousy and made the movie feel dubbed, even though it wasn't. I don't see how this movie would lead to any worthwhile thought or conversation of moral or spiritual significance. It's just intended to be a fun, silly, creative action flick, and I think for those who speak Mandarin, it probably is. I just wish I was one of them. The movie ends on a light cliffhanger and is continued in Tai Chi Hero, which I will not be seeing. It's rated PG-13 for violence and martial arts action throughout. I give it a quality of 6.5 out of 10 and a relevance of 4.5 out of 10. And again, I do think that quality score would be higher if you speak Mandarin. So if you speak Mandarin, check this one out. Even if you don't, and you're just kind of curious, even though 6.5 is kind of a low score, if you're just kind of interested in seeing this different kind of movie that they're, you know, it was just interesting, even though it wasn't enjoyable, just as kind of like a fan of filmmaking, I found it interesting what they were going for, what they were doing, and what I assumed they were achieving for Mandarin-speaking audiences. So on that level, it was kind of interesting, but as far as like enjoying the film as I'm intended to enjoy it, I just wasn't, because of, I think, the fact that I don't speak Mandarin. So for me, a guy who doesn't speak Mandarin, it gets a 6.5. Well, I usually have time to just cover, you know, theatrical release movies and a few home video releases, but guys, there's a world of geekiness out there I'd love to feature more of on this show. TV shows, novel. I'm still looking for a Doctor Who segment, even if you don't want to commit to the like a full ongoing run or something like that. Somebody just get the ball rolling and send me a segment on Doctor Who. Tell me why you love Doctor Who. Do I need to like stir up the, get the juices flowing by talking about why I don't like Doctor Who? No, I'd lose listeners that way. but I want to hear why somebody out there does like Doctor Who. So send me that segment. Anything else. It could be about novels, video games, tabletop games, new stuff, old stuff. I want us to talk about it all. So if you want to contribute or review news or other geekery of any kind, it's pretty much as simple as just sending me an audio file. But if you want the details, go to spiritblade.net/submissions for more information on how easy it is to join the Spirit Blade Underground and be a part of this podcast.
It is time to be happy. It is time for a contest. Fabulous prizes. A winner is you.
I want to say thank you once again to Brian Godawa, who is giving away a copy of his book, Enoch Primordial, Book 2 of the Chronicles of the Nephilim. And even though it's Book 2, it's a prequel, so it's a great jumping on point for the series. And he's doing some cool creative stuff there, so if you haven't yet, I would suggest that you check out the Chronicles of the Nephilim. But today we're going to announce the winner of the contest for the giveaway of Brian Godawa's Enoch Primordial. And the method I've chosen for randomly determining the winner was originally going to be just a simple D20 with no crits or fumbles, and I might still do that another time, but I just got the board game Merchant of Venus last week, and I've really been enjoying it a lot. And they've got a bonus cup system, which I actually use a bag, like a black bag that I got for something else a long time ago. I can't remember. It looks like headphones for my Bose headphones. But it makes a really good dice bag or a gaming bag. So I put all my tiles in here, all these little tokens and tiles of goods that you can pick up and sell and passengers and stuff. And all the things that you're picking up and transporting from one place to another in this game have some kind of a credit value. It's a game where you're going, exploring the galaxy, exploring the cluster, finding new cultures, finding out what goods they produce, and then taking those goods, buying them, and selling them somewhere else for a profit, investing in building factories and stuff like that. So it's a very cool game. I will probably do a review maybe late in the summer once I feel like I've really gotten a handle on the game as a whole. But I'm going to use the bonus cup to determine the winner of this contest. I've narrowed it down to three finalists. And guys, your odds for these contests are amazing. Now, we did get a boom of entries for the Nightfall contest, but we only got like a handful. We got five entries for this contest, and then I narrowed it down to three, but five entries. Guys, your odds are amazing, so you've got to jump on board with the next contest. You're gonna win. Your odds are amazing. But anyway, I've narrowed it down to three finalists: Jeff Hopper, Matt McKinney, and Greg H. And I am, for each one of them, going to draw a tile out of the bonus cup, as it's technically called, but it's a bag in my hand here. And the winner will be determined by whoever gets the token with the highest credit value on it. Some of them have multiple credit values listed on them. I'm always going to go with the highest credit value. Okay, so for Jeff Hopper, he gets a demand token for Living Toys, and that's worth 40 credits. All right, let's see. Matt McKinney. There's the little jingling noise. I should have done that with the first one. You can hear the tokens. I love that sound. I love that sound. What do we got? Matt gets, it's another demand token for Immortal Greece, and that's worth 50 credits. All right, and Greg H., what do we got for Greg H.? Ooh, it's a passenger who will pay a fare of 150 credits when delivered. So the winner of Book 2 of Chronicles of the Nephilim, Enoch Primordial by Brian Godawa, the winner is Greg H. So Greg, be sure you email me this week sometime really quickly and get me your mailing address, and we'll be sure to get that book out to you. Congratulations, Greg. Let's see here. Oh yeah, well, oh, and once again, I do want to thank Brian Godawa so much for his generosity in being involved with this podcast and with sponsoring this contest. Brian, thank you very much. All right, well, we're now starting right into an all-new contest, and this time for the book The Rainbow Connection. This is a science fiction novel by Ian Harrack. I'm probably butchering that name, and I'm sorry, but it's a book from Black Worm Publishing. Now, you guys might remember that Black Worm is a publisher of paper and pencil RPGs and supplements, as well as geek fiction novels. It caters to the mainstream geek crowd, but it's run by Dave Mattingly, a believer who also helped found the Christian Gamers Guild. Now, I interviewed Dave a few months ago in episode 253. Go on back and check it out if you haven't. I had a great time getting a sense of his heart as both a Christian and a geek, and how he brings both elements to the table in what he does with his life. That interview is in episode 253. So I want to thank Dave Mattingly, who's giving away this copy of The Rainbow Connection. The description reads, one FBI agent, one geekette, one dead munchkin. Parallel worlds galore. It all adds up to an interdimensional conspiracy. When Matt Anders stumbles across the body of a dead munchkin in a suspect's apartment, a conspiracy begins to unravel that leads him on a reality-jumping adventure to the magical land of Oz and beyond. So if you enjoyed the recent Oz movie, this might be right up your alley. For a chance to win a copy of The Rainbow Connection, you must do one or more of the following for this contest. One, the standard way to get an entry is to send an email with the subject title contest, including your first and last name, to Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, at spiritblade.net, and answer this question. Do you listen to reviews on this podcast mostly A, to help you make a decision about where to spend your money, or B, to simply hear the opinion and perspective of the reviewer? So again, what is the reason that most describes why you listen to reviews on this podcast? Is it A, to help you make a decision about where to spend your money on, say, a game or a movie or, you know, something like that? Or B, is it just simply to hear the opinion and perspective of the reviewer because you just enjoy hearing different opinions? Okay, so only one entry of that type per person is permitted. However, you can get some bonus entries. The second way to get an entry is send an email with your first and last name and the subject title contest to Paeter, P-A-E-T-E-R, at spiritblade.net and indicate that you are a new listener as of April 5th, 2013. You've started listening on or after April 5th, 2013. Of course, entries received in this manner from email addresses that have already sent me an email before that time will be rendered void. You can also include the name and email of one person who referred you to the Spirit Blade Underground podcast if you'd like to do them a favor. And only one entry of this type is permitted. And lastly, number three, this is where that favor comes in. You can have your name and email address credited as the person who referred a new listener to the Spirit Blade Underground podcast in a contest entry, as I just described earlier. And you can get multiple entries of that type. You got to submit all of your entries by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on April 24th. That's a Wednesday, I believe, April 24th, 2013. Be sure you check out our show notes for more information and a link to our full contest rules, all the little fine print and stuff like that. I've basically covered it all. I'm not doing any kind of tricky stuff, but I really do encourage you to check that out so you really understand how this all works. There, like I said, there were only five entries in the last contest, guys. Your odds are amazing. If you're in a reading group online, like outside of Christian Geek Central, of course, tell them about the contest. During the Nightfall contest, I'm active on Board Game Geek, so I wasn't spamming. I don't want you to spam, but I went on to Board Game Geek into the Nightfall forums. I waited a week. I gave you guys a week, a chance to do this for a week, and nobody did this, so I did it myself. I went on to Board Game Geek and announced the Nightfall contest, and a ton of people from there got involved. Those could have been all bonus entries for one person who went there and made that announcement, if they would have gotten to that before me. So help yourself out if you're part of, like, if you're already involved. Again, no spamming on our behalf, please. Help yourself out if you're part of a geek community that is interested in, and it doesn't even have to be like Christian science fiction and fantasy. This book isn't specifically, geared toward Christians. Help yourself out. And of course, you help out this podcast at the same time by getting the word out about this contest. Again, the deadline is April 24th, guys. Good luck.
The truth will set you free.
Truth is that which corresponds to fact or reality. To assert that truth is not absolute is a self-defeating proposition. Now, lots of things are possible, but our beliefs should reflect the best explanation of the available evidence. I'm no expert, but the information is out there. You'd be amazed what you can learn if you spend some time in search of truth.
The truth will set you free.
In this segment, I attempt to examine the Bible and dissect some of the what I call churchy language that we take for granted, goes in one ear, out the other, and use a little cultural history and linguistics now and then to try and get at the heart of the text at hand so we can hopefully see and apply some of what God has for us in these words today. Now, today is just a little bit different because I'm just going to kind of review what we've kind of looked at in Genesis before we head into Exodus. Last week, we finished our trip through the book of Genesis, and it was like a hopping, skipping trip. We didn't go exhaustively all the way through. We're specifically looking at parts of the Old Testament that contain kind of strange practices, rituals, things like that, that when looked at closely, can tell us something about who God is, who we are, what our relationship is to God by default, and what our relationship with Him is meant to be. So that's the aim of this whole study as we're hopping and skipping through some books of the Old Testament. Like I said, last week we finished our trip through the book of Genesis. We saw some of God's first interactions with humanity. Next, we're going to take a similar trip through the book of Exodus, likewise skipping and jumping to specifically look at passages that deal with some of the unusual laws and rituals of the Old Testament. Our goal is to dissect these strange bits of scripture, remove the intimidation factor that often comes with trying to make sense of them, and see, as we said, what we can learn about who God is, who we are, what our relationship to God is by default, and what it's ultimately meant to be. Now, before we start into Exodus, though, I thought it would be good to rescan some of the relevant information we were able to glean from our time in Genesis, either by deduction, implication, or direct reading of Genesis, we've learned that, one, God is independent of time, unchanging, infinite, immaterial, and unbound by natural law since he created it. We learn that all from Genesis 1:1, just from simple logical deduction. And that is, the ramifications of that are amazing for how we interpret all of Scripture and what Scripture says about God. So that's really important stuff. Number two that we picked up is that Scripture, a finite medium, often uses metaphor and analogy to describe an infinite God and his interactions with humanity. Number three, in some way, likely non-physical, humans were made to reflect something of who God is. We were made, as it said, in his image. We see that in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Number four, we picked up that human rebellion originated with the doubt that God has our best interests at heart. We saw that in Genesis 3, 4 through 7. Number five, we saw that human rebellion resulted in separation from God's presence, that's spiritual death, as well as mortality, physical death. And we saw that in Genesis 3, 19 through 24, as well as kind of an echo of it in Genesis 4, verse 16. Number six, we learned that the practice of sacrifice, or giving an offering to Yahweh, and again, Yahweh is God's personal name, that seems to be intended as an act of gratitude and trust. And we pick that up from Genesis 4, verses 1 through 7. Number seven, we learn that God does not approve of evil, nor is he content with its existence, but God honors and allows for the free will of humans. However, evil is a serious problem, serious enough that at times God is willing to destroy human life in order to thwart or inhibit evil. We saw that in Genesis 6, verses 5 through 13. Number eight, we picked up that God greatly enjoys it and is honored when we offer him the best that we have and trust him with our well-being. We see that in Genesis 8, 18 through 22. Number nine, we learn that God values all life, especially human life. We see that in Genesis 9, 1 through 17. Number 10, we learn that God promised that through Abram, quote, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Very significant. That's in Genesis 12, 2 through 4. And 11, God counted Abram's faith as righteousness. That was really interesting, making it more clear than ever that trusting in Yahweh is the most important thing we can do and is the human act of greatest value to God, which makes a tremendous amount of sense when we just go back to one of the earlier points that that we discovered, and that is that the fall really originated with the doubt that God has our best interests at heart. So the way to, you know, in direct opposition to that, the way to return, the way to have right relationship with God is to trust again. Number 12, God uses existing ideas from our surrounding cultures to communicate truth to us. And we see that in Genesis 15, 7 through 21. And then lastly, 13, one more thing we picked up. Yahweh promised to be God to Abraham and his descendants forever, establishing a unique connection to the Hebrew people. That's going to be really important to remember as we move forward. And we saw that in Genesis 17, 7 through 8. Okay, if you want all those written, I posted those at spiritblade.net/blog on the entry for, oh gosh, I can't remember the date, but today is like April 4th, I think. Let me see my watch here. Yeah, it's April 4th, 2013. So if you check, if you want those for any reason, you know, to copy and paste those into a document or just kind of read those for yourself. I know going through, reading through a list of 13 points, you know, might not be the way that you will kind of retain that and process that. So that's one of the reasons why I don't just do these segments on the podcast. I also do the printed form because some people process information better that way, and especially lists like this, I think, for a lot of people. So if you want, you can go to spiritblade.net/blog, look at the week of April 4th. It'll actually be earlier in that week, and you'll see the In Search of Truth segment where I've posted all those. Next week, and this will be on the podcast only, next week I plan to read some key passages from Exodus chapters 1 through 11 that will help set the stage for where our study is going to continue as we pick it up in Exodus chapter 12.
Incoming transmission.
Hey there, John Wilkerson here from the Wyatt Home School over at thewyatthomeschool.com. Driving along on a blustery day, hoping I don't get blown off the road while I'm talking to you. Anyway, you wanted some voicemail feedback, so here it is, voicemail feedback. You're awesome, Peter! Anyway, I'm phoning this in because I don't really care to be entered into the contest, and you asked for voicemail. So, movie reviews I'd like to see are new DVD releases, and I love the retro reviews as well. So, I mean, a new movie review is fine every once in a while, but I don't get the opportunity to go see new movies in the theater very often, so I'm usually waiting until it's out on DVD, you know, until it hits Redbox or something like that. So, yeah, that's what I'm interested in seeing on the show as far as movie reviews. Keep up the great work, and ta-ta for now. Bye.
John, thank you. Always great to hear from you. John is so encouraging. It seems like anytime, you know, I start to imply that I'm lonely, that I need to hear from somebody, then I get a call from John. So thank you so much, John. Let's see here. What am I forgetting? Oh, yeah. You guys might have noticed, you know, that I didn't do the Evil Dead review this week. And that's because, you know, I only got these five entries for feedback, but I've gotten feedback, you know, other ways as well, like John, and, you know, and little hints or indications here and there. What I seem to be sensing is that people that listen to this podcast aren't, you know, really in need of new theatrical movie releases. What would be more useful to them are reviews of things that they can rent immediately on Netflix or Redbox or something like that. So that's kind of where I'm planning to head my reviews I've gone through the list of like the things I'm reviewing this summer. I've cut back on some things. There's still going to be a really significant chunk of movies that I'm going to go see this summer, just because this summer has an unusually high amount of movies that I think many geeks are anticipating. There's just a huge amount of movies this summer that I think are pretty big geek, high-profile geek movies. But a lot of other movies, especially, I think you'll notice it starting in the fall, I'll be content to just let go in and out of the theater, and I'll just get to them, you know, when they come out on Redbox, or maybe I'll get a Netflix. If, you know, I'll be saving enough money from seeing movies in the theater that it might be worth it to get a Netflix subscription or something. So I'm not exactly sure what route I'm going to go with that, of how I'll approach that. But here's what I need. If you don't like that, if you don't like the sound of that, or especially if, like, you know, this week, apart from, you know, me indicating that I was going to review it, if you would have rather I reviewed Evil Dead instead of, say, this DVD, you know, Tai Chi Zero that I reviewed this week, if you were kind of curious, you know, oh, man, I really would have liked that, apart from the fact that I indicated I would and then I didn't, let me know. Please let me know. Or if there's a movie coming up, and I'm going to try to make this a regular part of the show where I just kind of remind you guys this. If there's a movie coming up that you know, are particularly curious what my thoughts on it would be, that's going to be coming out in the theater, let me know. And I'll probably be able to go and see it without too much trouble. I want to prioritize what you guys are interested in hearing about. So please let me know. Otherwise, you can just, you know, don't assume I'm going to see a movie that you're excited about. If you're excited about a movie and you kind of want my thoughts on it right around when it comes out in theaters, please, please, please let me know. These contest questions, even if you're not interested in the prizes, I want to encourage you to, you know, just send me an entry anyway, because all summer, I think, all the entries are going to involve questions that are basically like feedback questions and you know, just kind of survey type questions that are just going to help me to kind of shape the podcast, polish it a little bit more, and figure out how I can make it more enjoyable and useful to all of you guys. So, or, you know, if you don't want to, you know, do that, just feel free. I'm always open to feedback. I want to make this show filled with content that's going to be more useful, more enjoyable to you. So tell me what you want on the show, and I'll see if we can do it. Let's see here. Also, if you want to help make sure that we can keep doing what we're doing at Spirit Blade Productions, or do more of it faster, better, you're invited to make a donation of any amount, anytime. You certainly don't have to, but I just want to make that option available for those that are interested in doing it. You can also become a part of the Spirit Blade Insider program, which features new monthly exclusive content, including my audio journal entries, actor recording sessions, and work-in-progress mixes of the scenes and songs of Spirit Blade 3. And those are really going to kick into gear starting this summer. For more information, you can check out spiritblade.net/donate. Well, this week, I finished my last day of subbing for the school year. I substitute teach 60 days out of the school year. Once I've fulfilled that quota for our family budget, every other day beyond that, I can use for just working full-time on Spirit Blade production. So I usually don't finish this early, but it's been a crazy busy year for subbing, which has been frustrating, and we'll probably adjust kind of how I approach that so that I can better keep Spirit Blade Productions running smoothly next year if we have a similar year next year. But at least for this year, it does mean that I get done early. So I've got 2 months while one of my boys is still in school, so that's even more great for the next 2 months, that I'm full into uninterrupted Spirit Blade mode. And then really that extends for 4 months, even after my son's done and at home, and I'll have both boys, you know, kind of driving me nuts during the day. I'll still be guaranteed to be able to get in a full work day for Spirit Blade Productions every day of the week until the beginning of August. Very exciting to me. And I'm also giving myself an extra boost a few times over these 4 months, actually 6 times in total, by going off-grid for usually just a week at a time. My first off-grid week is this coming week. So during that time, I won't be checking email or on the forums or posting anything. Although right after recording this episode, I'm going to go and record an episode for next week. So there will still be a podcast that goes up next weekend. So if all you do is I don't need to talk to Pater, you know, you can whatever. I don't need to talk to him. I just listen to the podcast. Then you won't notice a thing. So there'll still be a podcast next week. In the meantime, I'll be giving nearly every moment of my workday this next week on development for Spirit Blade: A World of Shadows. Speaking of which, a reminder, auditions for Spirit Blade: A World of Shadows are going on right now. Open online auditions. A number of roles have already been cast and recorded, but there are still plenty left that need enthusiastic and talented voice actors. All the information you need to download can be found in our audition document. The link is in our show notes. If you or someone you know might be interested in being a part of the climactic conclusion of the Spirit Blade trilogy, don't miss this chance to get in on the action. Now, I gotta warn you, the audition materials do not necessarily reflect the final script, as some lines have been modified to serve audition purposes. However, the audition materials do contain some minor spoilers, so if you wish to avoid spoilers of any kind, you may wish to avoid reading our audition materials. However, if you like that sort of thing and want some fuel for speculation, you're welcome to download them even if you have no plans to audition. So, enjoy. The deadline for audition submissions is Sunday, April 14th. That's about a week and a half from the moment I'm recording this. So, don't delay. Next week, which I'm going to be recording in probably just an hour or so here, is my review of the DC Heroes Paper and Pencil role-playing game, and also the story between what we've looked at in Genesis and what we'll be looking at in Exodus as our exploration of the strange practices of the Old Testament continues. In the meantime, thanks so much for making time for this show. Have a great week, and I hope you'll join me here next time on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast as we continue to geek out and seek the truth.
The Spirit Blade Underground is a community-supported endeavor of Spirit Blade Productions. This podcast is produced by Peter Frenson with support and contributions from the Spirit Blade Underground community. For more information about the Spirit Blade Underground, visit spiritblade.net/underground. Or for information about the variety of activities and products by Spirit Blade Productions, visit spiritblade.net. Thank you for listening.